Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning 510 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday we learned of a terrible, terrible tragedy that took place over in Walton County, our near neighbors. We had Sheriff Michael Atkinson doing a press conference about just the worst possible news you can have from law enforcement.
Approximately 2 p.m. this afternoon, Walton County Sheriff's Office Dispatch received a call from the Dollar General store, which is located at U.S. Highway 90 around Lancelot Road in the Mossyman community. That call was that there was an individual there causing a disturbance and needed to be trespassed from the scene. The deputy that was dispatched, Deputy Will May, responded to that call. Deputy May was not supposed to be working today. He came in to volunteer to provide overtime assistance.
So it's the most ordinary of police activities. Somebody's not where they're not supposed to be, or they are where they were supposed to be, but they started causing a disturbance. So call the police, trespass them off the property. Happens thousands of times a day. Police do it all the time.
Deputy May responded to the Goodwill store, made contact with the suspect. There was a brief discussion, approximately 10 to 15 seconds, in which the suspect exited the store with Deputy May walking out behind him. Within 10 seconds of the suspect walking out of the store with Deputy May behind him, that suspect drew a firearm and fired multiple rounds, striking Deputy Will May.
They talk briefly. Everything's fine. Come with me, sir. No problem. He's walking behind him as the guy's leaving the store. He grabs a gun and turns around and shoots the deputy. For no reason.
Deputy May, to his great personal credit and courage, was able to draw his firearm and return fire. This short but violent gunfight resulted in at least 18 rounds being fired, with both individuals being killed.
The murderer died on the scene.
The suspect died on scene. Deputy May called for assistance, announced that he had been shot and shots were fired. Another deputy from the Walton County Sheriff's Office responded on scene within approximately 2 minutes. I began to attempt to render aid to Deputy May. Within another 30 seconds to a minute, two deputies and a trooper also arrived, one of our deputies being an EMT, also began attempting to render aid to Deputy May.
I mean, in a situation like this, 2 minutes is a long time, but it's still a very fast response overall. One's an EMT. They're working to save his life. They get him to the hospital.
Walton County Fire Rescue immediately responded to the scene as well. That is an advanced life support unit. They also began working Deputy May. We attempted to airlift Deputy May from the scene, but air conditions would not allow that to work. Walton County Fire Rescue transported Deputy May to North Okaloosa Medical Center, where for the next 4 hours, surgeons and doctors worked to save Will May's life.
Couldn't get the helicopter in because of the conditions. That happens. They get him there as quickly as they can over land. 4 hours the doctors are working on him and fighting. He's fighting, they're fighting, they're doing everything they can for 4 hours.
Will fought the entire time, from returning fire on scene to fighting for his own life. At 7:10 this evening, Deputy Will May succumbed to gunshot.
I mean, he mentioned it in passing, but 18 rounds between the two of them back and forth, and he's mortally wounded and doesn't know it yet, and he manages to, you know, fight back against the murderer. He manages to call dispatch after it's over. Dispatch comes, and over the next 4 hours, he's fighting for his life, and of course, the worst happens, and just, you know, people who sign up for this line of work, sign up for this activity, put their entire life, their lives of their families, their future, their kids, to be able to have a parent on the line every time they leave the house.
Will had been a member of this organization officially since around 2014. He started as a communication officer, and then later in 2019, became a deputy sheriff. So for the past 6 years, he's patrolled. He's been a field training officer since 2023. Let me tell you what that doesn't tell you. It doesn't tell you that he's a second generation member of this organization. His father's a retired assistant fire chief. His mother's a former dispatcher. He chose a lifetime of service.
You know, we hear a lot of times about families that are military families, you know, grandpa, dad, son, now daughter, you know, join the military. You don't hear as often multiple generations of law enforcement, but man, you know, your dad's a cop. You grow up in that life. You wind up choosing to serve. You're in the service for about 10 years, 11 years, and one day through absolutely no fault of your own, everything goes horribly wrong, and now your wife doesn't have a husband, and your two kids don't have a father, and your friends have lost a friend, and an entire state is thinking about how much they owe to the people who make that choice on their behalf. I'm thinking about it. I mean, I got a kid who's thinking about law enforcement. You know, this is the real possibility every time you put on that uniform.
I am struggling on behalf of this organization to make sense of this, because I can tell you there is absolutely nothing tactically wrong that Deputy May did. I've been in this business 32 years. There is nothing I would have done differently. There was no indication whatsoever that this would have ended in that kind of violence. But that's what the men and women of this organization, the men and women who choose to put themselves in harm's way, understand and accept when we go to work. Watching it, it is just unfathomable to me that Will is not here. It's unfathomable to me that this happened. But I can tell you, and I want to say again, there's absolutely nothing he could have done differently, nor was there any indication of this individual's capable of this level of violence.
I mean, the guy was not getting arrested. The guy was not causing trouble. The guy was not resisting. It was all very brief. I just, like the sheriff said, he's doing it exactly right. You know, you maybe don't know or whatever, you've seen TV or you think it goes a certain way, but, you know, police that show up to a store to trespass somebody off the grounds who's cooperative, you don't draw your gun on them. You're not walking them out at gunpoint. You know what I mean? Like, you would never even walk somebody out at gunpoint. If you're arresting them, they're in handcuffs, and you frisk them. And if you're just trespassing them politely like you normally would, you're just walking out. There's no world in which this goes differently. I mean, I totally understand why he's just baffled by this thing.
Deputy May was wearing a ballistic vest. That vest did stop multiple rounds from the suspect. One of the rounds went underneath the vest, which ultimately caused his death.
And I don't know. We haven't seen the video. I don't know that I want to see it. I mean, apparently the body camera was damaged. Was actually took one of the shots. My suspicion is that the force of the bullets had knocked him over or was knocking him over, and that's how he got shot underneath the vest. I'm just guessing. And that he was returning fire kind of on his way to the ground or once he had gotten on the ground. But it's just, it's the whole thing. Unfathomable how this could happen. I appreciate Sheriff Atkinson talking about this. I appreciate him being so as forthcoming and as, I don't know how he kept it together doing this press conference, honestly. There was one part where you could kind of tell it was getting to the surface a little bit for him, which is, completely understandable.
I'm going to try and answer any questions that you have with the best of my ability. You will not hear me say the suspect's name. He does not deserve that. I will not give it to you. If you want it, you can get it off the report. Does not have his name spoken.
And, the reporter that was there, at least the one that was on the video, some guy, I don't know what agency, what channel or newspaper or whatever that he was with over in Walton County, asked, all the obvious questions that had all the sort of obvious answers.
Do you have any information about, does he have a record, any past involvement with law enforcement?
Nothing that would indicate any level of violence. The subject was a concealed weapons permit holder. He had other weapons in his residence when we searched it, but nothing to indicate violence. In fact, he had not been arrested by this organization or any organization. Investigation ongoing, but that's where we sit right this second.
The weapon he had, was that legally allowed to be carried?
Yes, he was in possession of a concealed weapons permit. Not that that is no longer needed, but he actually still had one.
And the gun he had was legally purchased in his name?
We're in the process of investigating that, but there's no reason he was not.
Yeah, of course, in Florida, you don't need a permit, to have a gun, but he did. Had multiple guns, apparently all legal, no background, no priors, no anything. Just whatever happened inside of his brain, whether it was some mental illness, whether it was malice, whether it was something going on in his home life that we don't know yet about, we don't know. Just, he decides to take a gun that he legally owns, that he carries, and murder a cop who's trespassing him off of a property.
In your 30-odd years, there is no indication that you should be concerned to be concerned.
There was nothing that Deputy May would have known or that I know since then that would cause me any pause whatsoever. This is an interaction deputy sheriffs have every day in this county. Every day. We have them in traffic stops. We have walk-in store. There was nothing about this to indicate. And in fact, the initial discussion between them, you can see that Deputy May, while being cautious, has no reason to believe that this is going to go anywhere. There are multiple eyewitnesses to this shooting as well, too. They were stunned as well at the speed at which this turned into a gun battle.
When we talk about, you may get kind of used to it a little bit because obviously we talk with Sheriff Johnson, Sheriff Simmons, talk with PPD, Mike Wood. You get to hear from our local law enforcement leaders a lot on this show, partially because crime is something that a lot of people are interested in, partially because crime and public safety is the paramount value of having a government, and partially because I think it's important that we honor what law enforcement does and understand it and think about the law and, it's important, right? But you hear them say it all the time that responding to traffic stops, responding to domestic violence cases or calls are so unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. But it's any kind of call. Like you never for sure can know what somebody might do. But you do it enough, 11 years a cop, you do it enough and you learn what's normal. but you always have to be prepared for what's completely unexpected. But even if you anticipate, I mean, it's, as Sheriff Atkinson said, you know, it's hard to imagine how this could have gone differently once this murderer decides to take this unpredictable, violent action into his own hands.
This is an agency in shock and in disbelief that this happened. And it's certainly that it happened this way. At 2 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon for something where an arrest was not going to be made. The subject being dealt with was not even going to be arrested. They were simply asking him to leave. 25 to 30 seconds after his arrival, he was mortally wounded. It does not make sense.
So this morning, obviously our prayers, our thoughts, our concerns, our sorrow goes out to the family of Deputy May, to the entire Walton County Sheriff's Office, to all the local law enforcement in that area and here, because this is, you know, this is the panhandle. We are all one family. And also to realize that this one person has now not just taken the life, but made every other citizen less safe, because now every law enforcement officer is going to be just a little bit more on edge. And rightly so. And that puts everybody a little bit more at risk because of one person. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, just $189.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's A-U-D-I-E-N hearing.com.
Listen up, fellow Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. Let's do it again and get vaccinated, because we're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com and schedule a vaccine today. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. There's really some awful storms on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, but they are a long way away, unless you're heading to Nashville, in which case they're right in your face in Nashville. It basically stretches from Dallas through the southeastern corner of Oklahoma and Arkansas over into Tennessee, Kentucky, and West Virginia, right up into New York. It's this, I mean, a 1,000-mile line, long line of storms, but it is, you know, 4.5 hours away from us, but, you know, be considerate for those folks up there. And if you're traveling to the north, keep that in mind. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. The GOP Senator Rand Paul says it's a fallacy to think that tariffs would help the U.S. economy. On Wednesday, Paul was one of four Republicans that supported a Democratic measure to block President Trump's tariffs on Canadian products. Earlier in the day, Paul had spoke out against tariffs, calling them a tax. And his comments came from a podcast as well. The Supreme Court will determine whether Planned Parenthood can participate in Medicaid. Wednesday, the court heard arguments over the abortion provider in South Carolina. It's the center of GOP-led efforts to keep Planned Parenthood from receiving public funding. And Amazon reportedly making a last-minute bid to buy TikTok. The New York Times broke that news yesterday. They say the e-commerce giant submitted that bid via an offer letter sent to Vice President J.D. Vance and Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
Any word on the rumor that they plan to rebrand it as Bezostock? No? No?
No word no yet, word on but that. we'll let you know when we find out.
We'll keep tracking the story. Yeah, the whole issue with the tariffs, what's interesting about it is it's not just about whether they are having tariffs against us. It's also things like, you know, what are the labor laws in that country? You know, what are the currency manipulation that might be going on in that country? There's a whole range of factors that this is designed to thwart, which makes for an interesting question of whether it's not more a matter of justice for improving, for example, maybe wages in that country.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Dow futures have been down 1,000 points ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. Reaction to President Trump's worldwide tariffs on imports meant to increase production in the United States and force better deals. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says members are willing to negotiate or retaliate.
To protect our interests and our businesses if negotiations fail.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says that will lead to more tariffs.
My advice to every country right now is do not retaliate. Sit back, take it in. Let's see how it goes.
News on Fox Business. There's tornado damage through Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky and Missouri. Bob Sansusi heard it coming in Potosi, Missouri.
I told my wife, get in the basement. And then jumped over the house.
Several homes are destroyed. There are injuries reported, but no deaths. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 71 degrees. It's partly cloudy this morning. A Walton County deputy has died after an on-duty shooting yesterday. It happened at a dollar store in Mossy Head on Lancelot Road. The sheriff's office says Deputy William May was escorting a man from the store when the man turned and shot him. Deputies say May was able to return fire and hit the shooter, who died at the scene. May was taken to the hospital. He passed away there. Sheriff Mike Adkinson says May was wearing a bulletproof vest, but the shot that killed him went under that vest. The 38-year-old deputy leaves behind a wife and two children. Pensacola's Sanger Theater celebrating 100 years. They hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday featuring participation by the Pensacola Chamber of Commerce, Friends of the Sanger, and Mayor D.C. Reeves, who talked to News Radio yesterday.
From the dilapidating infrastructure and it being on the chopping block at one point 40 or 50 years ago, to the huge renovation that we took on in the 2000s. And, this 100 years did not come easy. And that was a huge thanks to the Friends of the Sanger and so many community participants throughout these decades of time that has us here today. So I think I'm just one of those Pensacola kids that has those amazing memories of that first impression and what a beautiful place that the Sanger is.
Mayor Reeves there, and guided tours of the Sanger were given yesterday, as well as a screening of the silent movie The Ten Commandments was shown. Well, plans are in the works for a bear hunt. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission revealing plans yesterday in a video conference. That hunt would take place in December from the 6th through the 28th. The number of bears killed could not exceed 187. Now, the FWC is still collecting public feedback. A final vote won't happen until August. Another video conference is planned later today. Get more info on that at myfwc.com. Florida's newest congressmen are now on the job. District 1's Jimmy Petronas and District 6's Randy Fine were both sworn in yesterday. Both add to the Republican Party's majority in the House. Petronas addressed his colleagues and said he was ready to get the fiscal house in order. He also said that we have the opportunity of a lifetime to fix the country. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis says the Florida Law Enforcement Recruit Bonus Program has now awarded more than 7,800 bonuses. That program gives $5,000 bonuses to law enforcement officers that come to Florida from other states. He spoke yesterday at the Marion County Sheriff's Office. Governor DeSantis said about 700 checks are in the mail in the latest round of payments. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Right now we do have 72 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze 71 in Milton. Your next news is at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone. In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Fort Cancer event benefiting the American Cancer Society at Saposi Event Center is Friday evening. Enjoy the food, cocktails, live entertainment, and exciting auctions. See ForkCancerPensacola.org for event details. The 15th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday, benefiting the Escambia County Public Schools Foundation in downtown Pensacola. Please see visitpensacola.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
So how do you currently receive information from the city, and how do you prefer to receive it? Now looking at the preferred methods, again, social media is on top, followed by online or print media, and then City of Pensacola text, email, subscriptions, and then followed by the website. Of those, write-in, radio is on top.
Oh, yeah, baby. People wrote in for radio. I love it. This is Nicole Gieselson from UWF the Haas Center. They're talking about how in the satisfaction survey for the City of Pensacola, radio was not an option. But I actually messaged her and said, is radio going to be an option next year? She's like, oh, yeah. So good. And I think, you know, part of that is obviously just because, you know, of what we do. But part of that is also because we have the mayor on every week. And if people want to know what's going on in the city, they might listen to the interview where we talk with the mayor on the radio. Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. And I just assumed radio is number one. I didn't even think we had to ask. That was the
you
idea.
You say the sweetest things. Look at you. That's great. let's talk some of the things that are going on. I'm asking this only because I have now driven through it a couple of times. And I think I know, but I'm not 100% sure. If people are driving through Bayfront with all of the lane closures and ziggity zags and what you can and cannot turn, like you can't go north on 9th Avenue anymore going east off Bayfront. What is that construction for? You tell me. You tell them.
Yes. All right. Great question, because there's two different things exciting in the next few years happening on Bayfront. One that you may have heard about, very excited about, is the Sun Trail, the 12-foot separated mixed-use bike path. Me and you have talked about that. That's slated for, at this point, probably a 2028 completion. I mean, that's going to be, obviously, that's a big project. What you're seeing out there now is the funded $2 million stormwater project. It was part of our final ARPA funding that was part of our match. So a multi-million dollar stormwater project. Anybody who's lived here for any amount of time knows how all the flooding in that Aragon, 9th Avenue, BNP kind of area, all of that kind of where all the water's coming down from 9th Avenue.
Yeah.
So this has been a problem for us for years. And one of the big check boxes for us in terms of stormwater mitigation, alongside the kind of Joe Paddy's area that's also been funded that we're working on here pretty soon as well. So those were two big stormwater projects that needed to be done really for generations. And so that's what you're seeing. All that lane realigned and all that is the stormwater work that's happening down there at 9th and Bayfront.
Okay, so this is not the, you know, realignment of Bayfront, the changing of the median, the lane width, the two laning and all of that stuff. This is literally just a stormwater project. The other one will start in a couple of years, most likely. Is that basically right?
That's correct. And, okay. And just an update on the other one, FDOT's in design. As a matter of fact, I believe they're having a hybrid input meeting on April 22nd, FDOT.
Okay.
And they've had some of those with the Sun Trail. And, you know, just to get out in front of a couple things, you know, my big concern, number one, you know, we were a huge advocate for that Sun Trail to happen because of just the value of being able to get people in and around safely along the beautiful waterfront. But and our citizens want access to the waterfront. Yeah. That's what they've told us in our surveys. But second to that is to make sure that it stays aesthetically pleasing and beautiful and create shade and all of those things. And so we're already kind of preparing mentally and literally for some additional landscaping outside of FDOT scope just to make sure that it has the beauty of our waterfront that we want. So we're planning internally as that design continues to move forward. But, you know, we're talking about a $4-6 million project. At least probably by the time we get to 2028 for that. And so we certainly appreciate FDOT support, Senator Brockson's support, who's really made that happen.
And by the way, just to, you know, make sure to put a punctuation mark on it, no truth to the rumors that they want to put a Cervantes-style border wall in when they do the reconstruction, though, right?
No. And what I can tell you...
Don't put ideas in people's heads, Andrew!
With plans that we approve, no. That will not be happening.
Oh, speaking of that, by the way, I do have to give you kudos. I laughed out loud at your when you were writing your April Fool's Day post. The one that caught me was the red light camera remediation one, that if you have a DC Reeves for mayor sticker on your car, you get an extra 0.2 seconds on your red light running grace period. That made me laugh. Did you
well,
write that?
We tried to check it and see if that was legal. We're probably still in legal review.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm curious. Did you write that or did somebody else write it? Because it was funny.
No, I wrote that. My brother gave some input. So mm-hmm. It was a team effort.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Mr. Mayor, you know, one of the things that came up at the last meeting was the talk about the letter sent by the county commission regarding the UWF trustees and all of the controversy surrounding them. If I'm not mistaken, did you go to UWF? I can't remember. You did or didn't go to UWF?
No, I went to Florida State.
Okay, thank you. But you had indicated that you'd be willing to sign and send a letter because that kind of solves some of the issues of the timeliness of it. And then if city council members want to add their signature to it, that's entirely up to them. Have you written? Have you sent? Where does that stand?
Yes, a letter was written and certainly sent from our office. The last check with me was going to Don Crayer for whoever at the council wanted to sign. And you're right. We took that on for the sake of expediency.
Right.
Obviously, getting the county the city council to agree on a letter would mean another meeting and all of the other. And so they can now all of them individually have their own free will to sign or not sign. They don't need to have a joint letter that gets approved and all the red tape that comes with that. So it helped us move a little bit faster and, you know, certainly happy to support that effort as you've started to see and have seen all around the community.
Very good. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. We got a new port director, a retired two-star rear admiral, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Lance Scott, we're certainly excited to have him. And, you know, he's a decorated military career that speaks for itself, not only in the service to our country, but in what I really believe is the precipice of an amazing era for our port, in that combination of those traditional cargo port uses and those becoming more and more valuable to us in terms of job creation. We're starting to already even see GE's presence expand at the port, and GE estimates about a 2,100 job impact around the community. And that port is vital for that, for their effort, not only on Scenic Highway, but the other ancillary jobs that, that come into play with GE's work with those wind turbines. So that's an example. And then, of course, goes without saying, American Magic and all of the all the other sigil businesses, lines of business, training for engineers for UWF and Pensacola State. It's an amazing time, I think, these next 5 years of the port, you know, I think can be transformational. And to have somebody of his operational skill, experience, you know, I mentioned in the press conference, you know, at his last job, you know, he was only charged of 6,500 people. You know, I think he can he bring quite a lot of operational and leadership experience to our port. And take us into this new era.
I was curious whether he was a like an applicant or he was a Tim Kinsella connection or, you know, like how did he come to be? I just out of curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of both. I mean, he was obviously an applicant, but, you know, I mean, obviously that's the value, I believe, of having leadership like Tim is it brings a sense of credibility to, yeah. to maybe someone or a group of people that wouldn't otherwise apply. And I think anytime you see that, you know, anytime you have new leadership, then it attracts other good leaders that, that believe in that person as well. Right. And so, you know, who's to know what would have happened or wouldn't have happened if Tim wasn't here, but,
right.
You know, have we seen a quite a subset of amazingly accomplished military, former veterans or veterans and former active duty, applying for jobs. Yeah. And I'm sure that Tim's presence and his credibility in that space is providing for that. I think that's safe to assume.
No, I think it's one of the benefits you couldn't intend exactly, but it winds up working in our favor. Also, I really take to heart, and I don't know that people always really grasp the concept that, you know, the port is going to have things that are located there that are useful. It has port-related activities that are dependent upon it being a port, but it has port-related activity leverage to other things that are not based
Correct.
At the port, but like you say, with, you know, GE, that very much depend on that unique feature that we have for their operation. I think that's an important point. In the conversation about Community Maritime Park, I think it's been a little bit muddled or a little bit lost that, well, the Hard Rock project is going. There's a second hotel project that is also, like, it's kind of been pushed off and waited and been, you know, in the background all this time because it was in prominence and then kind of waned. But there's another hotel project possibly, right?
That's right, yeah. So Parcel 7, I don't expect our citizens to know their number, their parcel numbers. So
Amen.
It's, next, it took me a while.
Yep.
So Parcel 7 is next to Nick's Boathouse there. It's that kind of trapezoid triangular piece on the water. And yes, you're exactly right. This has been a conversation for years with Valencia. And the reason it's been delayed is because there was all of that conversation about a parking structure. And we have taken the position now in this administration to say, hey, let's kick the can on a $25 million parking structure at Maritime as long as we can reasonably. So Parcel 5, the Hard Rock and the apartments, biggest misperception I deal with right now is people think that that means they're going to use parking lot, the current parking lot. They are not. They are Parcel 5 is self-parked underneath. So Parcel 4, we have parking obligations to the Maritime Office Building, to the Wahoos. So that existing parking lot that you park in for games – is not going to, not one space of that is dedicated to the Hard Rock project, right? So, Valencia,
which is
going to
go, for people who don't know, is going to go on the grassy knoll, right? That's the part, and it's going to be self-parked, self-contained on that project. Go ahead. Sorry, just for people who don't know
correct.
It as well.
Yeah. Sorry. So yeah, that piece of grass right behind home plate is where our Hard Rock is currently going, and it will be self-parked, zero parking impact to the current parking lot. So then we said, all right, well, Parcel 7, how do we get there without also having to build a parking structure? And so that's really the detail that we're down to. So the council action is to give me about – I think it's a 90-day extension. I don't think we'll even need that much time. We've agreed on all terms. It's just a matter of figuring – they need 180 parking spaces. We found about 100, and we're going to kind of cobble together something for these other 80 and get to an agreement with them. They need that, understandably, for bank financing and things like that to know that they've got enough parking spaces to support a hotel. But I feel very confident that we're going to pull off, and I think is a great asset to the community. If we can get 5 done with apartments and hotel and the second hotel done at 7 without having the taxpayers have to fund a $25 million parking garage. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And if we were to ever have any more development after that, where we can't kick the can anymore, then we can have that discussion then. But that's what we tried to do, is try to kind of thread the needle and let's get development going here without having to have that type of taxpayer expense.
No, I think that's all good stuff. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. I know you were a sports reporter for a long time, so I'm curious what your answer is going to be. It was opening day recently, of course, for Major League Baseball. If you could only keep one of the major sports, basketball, football, baseball, or hockey, which one would you keep?
Professional, it's still got to be football. I mean, at the end of the day, Saint season ticket holder for life, man. I couldn't imagine going without it.
All right, fair enough. How long does it take Mayor D.C. Reeves to eat a full meal? What's a normal eat time for you for a meal?
Now, the average meal time has shrunk considerably since I've been in this job.
I got you.
Tim asked me in my office, he said, do you eat lunch during the day? I'm like, sometimes, I don't know. You know, so it's probably gone from like 20 minutes to like 8 minutes since I've been the mayor, but which is probably not healthy. But you know, so it's a very, very short amount of time I'm eating unless I'm at a lunch, like a luncheon.
That's
or something.
Too bad. Bad for your digestion, bad for your body, and bad for your enjoyment.
I know.
These things suffer. Last one is in your house, where do you keep your shoes? We had a conversation about this yesterday, whether you should keep them in the closet or somewhere else, or, you know, Better Homes and Garden has opinions, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's a very basic principle to keep them in the closet. So, and now you asking me this makes me concerned.
Well, no, that's the normal human answer. John keeps them in the living room. Okay. Some people keep them in the garage, maybe the mudroom, you know, that kind of thing. So their advice was not in the bedroom closet because it's going to, you know, musty make things stink or whatever. But I just think maybe Better Homes and Gardens has stinky
feet. In an act of normalcy, I keep my shoes in the
Very good. Oh, I did want to get your reaction. There was one other thing. Somebody made a comment that I wanted to get your reaction to real quick before I let you go.
Very briefly, I'd just like to remind everybody to ensure that you wish the mayor a happy birthday tomorrow.
Hey, which kind of cake are we having Thursday?
Depends on how the meeting goes.
Depends on how the meeting goes, of course. So it was your birthday last week, right?
That's right. 41. I said I've stopped counting, but this will be the last one I count. But
so you're gonna be one of those like 41 every year forever.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody does 39. I'll just do 41 because, you know, people still call me a kid in this job. So
well, it's believable. I mean, if you say 39, people know you're lying about it. But if you say 41 and it's always 41, they'll think, oh, I mean, it could be. He's got a youthful face. So happy birthday, Mr. Mayor. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do. And we will talk to you again next week.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities, Revelry of Reimagined, as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Warriors, come out to play!
morning, 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Interesting development. You know, all of the stuff that the Department of Defense is, like, rooting out all of the DEI, anything related to that, which also seems to be heading in the direction of, and I mean, not seems to, but we really are heading in the direction of eliminating any kind of accommodation for female service members. The most recent news note on this is that you've got in the Air Force, the flight restrictions that used to be in place on female pilots who are pregnant, they're basically putting those back in. You know, the Air Force says that, you know, women, it's basically the short takeaway. There may be sort of fine print here that I'm not communicating very well, but no air crew are allowed to fly in the early stages of pregnancy, and advocates are concerned a new policy will be more harmful for those in uniform. Even with a waiver, pregnant air crew cannot fly high-performance aircraft or aircraft with ejection seats at any time during pregnancy, citing a lack of definitive medical findings on the impact of G-force on the woman or the child. This is military.com published a story. And, of course, you know, female pilots, particularly retired ones. I mean, you can't, you know, if you're a female pilot in the service, it's you're not really allowed to speak out on these things. But a retired Lieutenant Colonel Jessica Ruttenberg, she championed flying while pregnant. The policy that had been put in place originally, she flew the KC-135, a tanker, and the C-21 during three pregnancies. And she said that the changes are not based on science. Quite frankly, I feel like we're going back 20 or 30 years. I think they're just responding to something they perceive as diversity related. And it's not. It's about readiness. Now, there are a lot of female pilots. There are a lot of female pilots who fly at certain times when they're pregnant, right? I know there's times when you can't, you know, late term particularly. But, I mean, I remember stories about even, you know, the rollout of, like, more form-accommodating flight suits for women who are pregnant. Like, this is a common enough thing. And if you're going to take all of those women offline when they're pregnant, you're going to create a shortage of pilot hours, right? I mean, that's a source of pilot hours. So you're now affecting the mission in some way. I don't know what your percentage would be. I imagine it's fairly low, but given the total number of flight hours, for example, in the Air Force, even if it's something like 0.5%, it's significant. And I don't know what the number would be, but, you know, women do get pregnant. Military moms do have families, you know? So just wow. Now, should we have minimum standards that you have to satisfy in order to be a pilot? Of course. But is there some evidence that shows that the policy allowing particularly early or second trimester pregnant women to fly, you know, I mean, maybe jets are different. I can understand that, okay? But, you know, what's the evidence that justifies this as opposed to, well, this is just another way that we're going to make sure that there's no gender benefit or whatever. And, like, because if you make the service unfriendly to women, you're going to get less women go into the service, and that also is going to affect recruiting and numbers and readiness, ultimately. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne has got our headlines. David?
Pro-Palestinian demonstrators are back at the campus of Columbia University. A handful of protesters chained themselves to the school's outer gates yesterday in various locations. They were protesting the federal arrest of activist and former Columbia student Mahmoud Khalil. Public safety officers had to remove the group at least once. Actor Jean-Claude Van Damme has been charged with international sex trafficking. Officials say...
What?
Well, officials say he had accepted sex with five women that had been trafficked from Romania as a gift. A report was filed by Romanian investigators saying he was meeting with people that were also under investigation for sex trafficking at the time.
So the charges are out of Romania?
Yes.
Oh, man. I just always want to be cautious about report. You know, like, because once you say it, you can never unsay it. And, I mean, I don't want to hide a thing that turns out to be true. You know, nobody wanted to talk about Bill Cosby, and then it all turns out to be true. You know what I mean? Like, I get it, but I just, I don't know. It's once you say it, you know, so even, you know, even if there's a headline that comes out, like Jean-Claude Van Damme exonerated from sex trafficking, five women from Romania. You know, like, it's still, that's the way the brain works, is you still imagine the thing. The connection is built even in the denial of it. So, wow. Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. 559 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.